It's Christmas Eve. It's the one night of the year when we all act a little nicer. We smile a little easier. We share a little more. For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be.
I couldn't have said it better myself, everyone.
Whoa, ass ahoy.
Hello and welcome.
Okay.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 78.
Woo!
And what is now officially considered a long and drawn out series. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
And this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your earbuds. Welcome to the second annual Christmas episode of the Air Raid Podcast. Is it just the second? Yeah, it's just the second.
Heartbreaking!
Merry Christmas! Happy holidays to all of you out there listening to this. I hope you are having a wonderful time with your families and your friends and all that good stuff. We've got a very special show for you today. We're going to take a little trip down memory lane. I don't know how long you personally have been listening to this show, but we did a show a while back with a real-life speakeasy owner out in the woods somewhere, located somewhere in the Northwest region. Could be the Oregon coast. Could be the Washington coast. You don't know. The secret is safe. The secret is safe, my friends. But welcome, yes, welcome to the Christmas holiday. Yeah, boy. It's been good so far. It's been wonderful so far. We'll see how Christmas morning goes. The kid is still sick. Still just getting everyone around her sick. It's been really awesome. I've been on like I don't know, maybe 3 hours of sleep. 3 hours of sleep for the last like month. So, boy, not 3 hours total for the last month, but you know what I'm saying, right? 3 hours a night. God damn it, man. It's tough. It's tough having a kid in daycare. Constantly getting sick. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Anyway, Merry Christmas. Oh boy. I hope you got all your shopping done. I usually wait, you know, to the last minute to do all that. And this year is no exception. I went to, because we, you know, we're kind of spending less this year on everybody, including each other. And I went out the other day to go get a bunch of photos developed because we were making these little magnet gifts, you know, with Tatum on them, my daughter. And I showed up at you know, I bought all these. First, I bought all these little magnet frames and stuff like that. And then I went to one of the local big chain places, you know, where you can kind of do it yourself, and it takes about what 20 minutes. To develop all these photos, and they do not do custom sizes. So then I had to look around for a, you know, custom photo development place, and I found one right up the street from where I live, and went in there, and the woman at the counter was not happy. She just seemed not happy to see me. I don't know if we had met before. Maybe I had done her wrong. You know, maybe I dated her daughter and broke her heart. I don't know. That's probably not the case because I was usually the heartbroken in those relationships. But that's beside the point. But yeah, she was not happy to see me, and you could see it on her face. And so I walk up to the counter and I say, you know, okay, I need, you know, this many of this size and this many of this size. And she goes, okay, we can do that. You don't want these before Christmas, do you? or you don't want these for Christmas, do you? I said, oh, yeah, yeah. And mind you, this is like, this is, you know, 2 days before Christmas Eve. So not, you know, I mean, last minute to me is Christmas Eve. That's last minute is Christmas Eve. Anyway, she looks at me and she goes, ugh, I'm sorry, we're too backed up. We can't have those for you. I said, okay. She said, yeah, you're kind of, you know, you're kind of doing this at last minute. And I was like, sorry about that. It's not your fault. That's mine. You know, and I wasn't visibly perturbed by it or anything, because I kind of figured that this would happen. And so I left. But it left me with, you know, that was kind of a Scroogey way to act, right? I mean, and you guys weren't there. I'm not describing it in the detail that I felt. I mean, you know, the feeling when I walked into that place was, I don't know. It was Scroogey. It was totally Scrooged. Anyway, if there's a lesson that we can learn from Bill Murray in Scrooged, it's that, you know, we're all good people. We're all good people. We just need a little kick in the butt sometimes, right? Anyway, we've got a great show planned for you today. We also have a little Christmas present that was sent to us via the iTunes ratings and reviews. We got another one to read for you. This one from Elena, entitled Super. Been listening for a while now and just getting around to writing some words down. This show has continuously gotten better and better. If you enjoy hearing bands and people in the entertainment industry talking about how they do what they do in a totally comfortable and candid way, then this is the show for you. Aaron is quickly becoming a fantastic interviewer and is very good at making these conversations fun, interesting, informative, and hilarious. Thanks for all the free entertainment from here in Colorado. Thank you very much, Elena. We really appreciate that. And you can do the same. Go to iTunes. Give me a Christmas present. That'll be your Christmas present to me. Go on to iTunes and leave us a rating, or just write a review. And you can be honest. Be honest like Elena. Elena did not give us a 5-star review. She gave us 4 stars. So thanks a lot, Elena from Colorado. Really appreciate that. And actually, I think now that I think about it, I think Elena actually left us a voicemail some weeks ago, and I accidentally erased it, and I don't remember what it said. I think I can't remember. So sorry about that, Elena. I did get your voicemail, but I accidentally erased it because when I get these things on my phone, I don't know what to do with them. And sometimes I press the wrong button. Plus, I got this new fancy phone. I got this new fancy smartphone. Got the new Motorola Razr. That was part of our Christmas presents to each other. Mairead and I, we bought each other brand new phones because we needed them desperately. And I love it. But man, it's really, really big. And it's hard to, it's wide. It's very thin, but it's very wide. And it's hard to do the things with the thumbs and the fingers. And you know, I accidentally, in my haste to listen to the voicemail, I erased it along with three others who I didn't get to see who those were from. So you can go to our website. We've got a voicemail line that you can call and tell us what you think or tell us what is on your mind. And leave us a voicemail. Call us when you're drunk. Those are fun. Or you can just email me, aaron@air-raid.net. Anyway, plugs aside, thank you very much, Elena, for the wonderful, fantastic iTunes review. And we're going to continuously try to make this show better. So we really enjoy getting those things and reading how we can improve the show. Okay, I think that's about it. Let's get into this interview that we did a while back. We deemed this place, we didn't want to use the real name of this speakeasy that was out in the boonies. So we called it, we refer to it as the White Rabbit, because you can definitely go down the rabbit hole at this place. And it was really, really fun to go out and kind of talk with people in the town that it was located, to get their perspective on what they thought of this place and what it meant to them. And then also talk to the owner of it, who turned out to be a fantastic dude and, you know, yeah, have a drink. God, he fed me this drink, grappas, which I don't think I'd ever had before. I think it's a Greek, liquor made of like grape stems or something like that. And, it was strong. Boy, was it strong. I still remember that flavor and that burning in my throat after he gave me that shot. But yeah, this is fantastic. This is good stuff. This is one of my favorite episodes that we have done so far. And I hope you guys enjoy it if you haven't heard it already. But here it is. Without further ado, here's our interview with the people of a small town in the Pacific Northwest region. Like I said before, could be Oregon, could be Washington, could be Idaho. You do not know. Could be Northern California. You have no idea. No idea. Let's get to it. Merry Christmas, everybody. Okay, so we're going to the store now?
Yeah, let's take a ride to the store.
Okay. So for the sake of anonymity, we're keeping shit anonymous here on this episode here. But you have chosen to go by the name of Bernie Reinhardt.
Bernie, that's my alias for now.
That's your alias. Okay. So I told you before we started this what we were kind of going for in this episode. We're covering this. This local kind of like speakeasy place that I'm going to call, for the sake of anonymity, the White Rabbit.
The White Rabbit. It's an elusive place where you take a ride down the rabbit hole.
Okay. That makes sense. I guess that's an apt name then, right? Now, how long has this place kind of been in operation?
It's been around for 5 or 6 years now, tucked away in the woods.
Yeah,
not everybody knows about it around here. It's kind of it's a special little hideout.
Yeah, it's kind of its own little thing.
Yeah.
How many times have you been up there personally?
Well, quite honestly, I can't remember because I tend to black out when I go there. It's they have an eclectic mix of alcohols and other things that people can enjoy, such as absinthe and.
Oh wow.
Oh, you know, mezcal and things like that. I think the last time I was there, the last thing I remember is taking a shot of absinthe with Eli and then taking a shot of mezcal with my buddy Mikey and then...
Don't use any real names.
Those aren't real names.
Okay. Perfect.
And then ate the worm and that's the last thing I remember. My girlfriend... told me the next day she had to take me home because I got a little out of control.
Really? Okay. So is this kind of a place where people normally get out of control then, or what?
I think it's not necessarily for getting out of control, but you can definitely do what you want to up there. You're not going to get kicked out for getting too drunk like you might at the bar.
Right. So would you say that this is kind of a speakeasy atmosphere?
Yeah,
at this place, then?
It's cool. It's kind of got like the old, you know, funky shack feel to it, and everybody's got their stylish clothes on, and you know, they go up there to listen to new hot music and talk about politics and do their thing. It's a cool spot.
Yeah. So what's with? It's pouring down rain here.
And your windshield wipers do not work.
No. They turn on and off. It's kind of funny. When it's raining, they turn off, and then when it stops raining, they turn back on.
Perfect.
I don't know.
Works out great for you.
Yeah, it works really well.
Well, thank you very much, Bernie Reinhardt. And we're going to talk with a couple other people here coming up and find out a little bit more about this place that we are calling the White Rabbit before we make our initial visit with the owner. So we'll see you in just a moment. Standing here with Prince Philip and Aurora, and they are making gingerbread. Gingerbread men, or are you making gingerbread house, Aurora?
Gingerbread men.
Gingerbread men. All right.
She's been waiting for this for days. Yeah.
So the reason I'm here is that I've been hearing about this place that we are going to name the White Rabbit. Not using the real name, this kind of the speakeasy that's here in this town that we're in right now. And Prince Philip, you have been to this place before?
I have visited the White Rabbit on several occasions.
Several occasions. So yeah. Would you say it is kind of like a speakeasy kind of place?
Yeah, you could say that. I think it's... I think that it's open to interpretation. How about that?
Open to interpretation.
Yes.
That's
everybody has a different experience with the White Rabbit, as I think it was designed to be that way.
Right. Yeah. So, when did this place start? You know.
Well, legend has it that the White Rabbit was established 500 years ago.
500 years ago. Yeah. Really.
Before the first settlers actually came to what is now called.
The Ivory Coast.
The Ivory Coast. Yeah. Yes.
So you, that's obviously not true.
No.
But you've been to that place many times now. What can I expect when I go up there and meet the purveyor of this place?
I think you can expect to be surprised and awed by its beauty.
By its beauty.
Yeah.
So it's I've heard that it was all kind of.
Yes, Aurora. Okay. Yes, we're getting there.
So I've heard that this place was kind of, it was all hand built.
It is.
Right out of like scraps of wood and everything. They even have like a space for bands to play
they
up
do.
There. Is that right?
They do. It's several structures. It is a very funky, cool. Very cool place, actually.
Uh-huh. So you enjoy yourself. You enjoy yourself
thoroughly.
You
yes,
there.
I've seen music there.
Uh-huh.
I've laughed there. I'm pretty sure I've cried there, and I seem to always have a really good time.
Oh, good. Yeah. So, you know, we've been hearing about this place from a number of different acquaintances of ours, and we decided to come out here to this small town that we've never really been to before. I appreciate you having a stranger in your home, interviewing you about it.
Absolutely.
But how does the whole thing work? Because, we were talking to somebody earlier, that goes by the name of Bernie Reinhardt, that said there's a bunch of alcohol up here. It's kind of this bar setting, right?
There is.
And, so how does kind of the everything work, with the alcohol? Is there money involved?
There is. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of bring a bottle, take a bottle of sorts.
Uh-huh.
You know, most people who do come do participate and like to provide. There you go, Aurora. this gingerbread is coming together nicely.
Yeah, it looks very good. It's very good.
Yeah, there's often food, treats perhaps.
Uh-huh.
The drinks are plentiful and delicious all at the same time.
Right.
And I think donation is more than welcome, but...
Yeah, so maybe I'll have to bring something up there to share.
Perhaps. Your favorite spirit would be appreciated, I'm sure.
Excellent, yeah. Excellent. So... one last question before I leave you guys to your gingerbread, Aurora. Aurora, do you know about the white rabbit?
Mm-mm.
No, you don't know anything about the white rabbit.
Nope.
Nothing. Nothing you can add to this conversation here.
I don't know about it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, guys, for inviting me in your home and helping you make gingerbread now.
You're welcome.
And we'll be back in a moment with our trip up to the White Rabbit. White rabbit.
It's a bit like, you know, seeing old people with their clothes off during the day. it's not really meant to be seen in daylight.
Okay.
It really, honest to God, it isn't. But there's a bunch of different. This is the turtle, and in many ways, the amphitheater is the reason why we. At least was in the back of my mind when I was building the whole thing, was to eventually do something for acoustic. Live music.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And it's got a great story in and of itself. I met.
So just to give the people listening here, we're standing in front of this amphitheater that seems to be, it's built out of what, 2x4 ends?
Yeah, 2x4, 6x10, and 12. And, I thought that, I had heard that the end of a 2x4 is, of course, much harder than the other side with the end grain.
Right.
And I met with an audio engineer, and he told me about how, it's, you know, pros, they like the end grain because of the bounce.
Okay.
So I thought this would be a good idea to build something out of all end grain facing in an arch circle. So I met with a guy, and he talked about the size and shape of the arc. And we started doing this.
It's kind of a concave shape where it kind of comes back. You've got a little stage here, and it kind of comes back and wraps around the side.
Yeah, it's a true, you know, curved amphitheater. And then I tried. There's a curve in the top too.
Right.
Which
I see
is
that.
Is just canvas spray painted with about 7 gallons of Ralph Lauren gold.
This is very cool. So you guys actually do hold live shows. Yeah, you can definitely hear how the sound is kind of deadened up here. I don't know if they can hear that at home.
Actually, what's weird about it is that it's a real warm sound, and you get a little reverb out of it. The oddest thing about it is there's a couple sweet spots in front of us, about 10 feet. So if you're on stage here and you're playing, it sounds really extraordinary. But if anybody... about 5 feet away whispers that you suck, you can hear it. Which is definitely part of the effect.
That's very cool. This is amazing. So
this thing, the funny part of it is that I thought this was going to be a good idea, and I had a huge pile of construction material, and I cut it all up, and I built a wall, because if you stretch this wall out, it's probably something like 35 feet in a linear line.
Oh, okay.
Maybe even a little bit more than that. And I cut up this huge pile of construction material, and I built a wall that was about 4 inches tall. And then me and another friend who will go unnamed. We tore apart literally multiple homes, like full remodels.
Really?
And there's over 4,000 cuts.
Wow.
In this wall, which is we don't even know how much it weighs, but it's glued and pin nailed together, and then a bunch of polyurethane to get the sound to bounce properly.
Wow.
And it really is a warm, wonderful sound for acoustic music.
This is cool. I'd love to come back
and witness some
music here.
We engineered all the, these are all sandwiched laminate, you know, trusses.
Right, across the ceiling.
And
Very cool.
The building itself, there's a really super fantastic crotchety barge maker by the name of Trask on Bainbridge Island who was sequestered by the EPA to tear apart his barge because the outside had creosote on it.
Oh, right, right.
And but he was pissed off because the whole interior of the barge was, you know, thousands of clear 6x6 and 4x6s.
Uh-huh.
So me and three friends about 10, 12 years ago went every day for weeks and just took hundreds upon hundreds of 6x6s from the interior of the barge, just took it apart. And
that's what you guys built this with.
I built the building out of like Lincoln Logs, literally. It's just spiked together.
Well, let's take a look inside this building. This is the kind of the main building here.
Yeah, this is the turtle. As you can see, the turtle head's on the front of this.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And it's sort of shaped like a turtle.
Right, right.
And this is the goat, and this is the pigeon.
Okay.
So the three.
So three kind of...
Smoking voodoo lounge.
Okay, smoking voodoo lounge in here. Yeah, got some got some voodoo shit hanging from the
it's
hanging from the walls here.
And
wow.
And I put the heat on. I'll meet you. I'm going to go around the back of the bar. I'll meet you if you go in this way. I'll go in that way.
Okay. Great. Going into the bar area here.
Sick. And it's freezing right now.
It is. It's cold. I hit kind of a little patch of ice on my way up here. I didn't know if the truck that I'm borrowing to drive around would actually handle it.
I was gonna hack it. Yeah, I seriously was coming up that last night. So this building, there's the image of us tearing apart the barge for the actual wood.
Oh, wow.
For this piece. And wow. That's me without any hair. And,
yeah.
And
a little Tom Waits action up there, too.
Yeah, that's a real shot. And, you know, we've had art shows. We've had a number of really nice shows down here. Some artists like Shanetka Govransky, who has a gallery in the city. And Dan Parsons did a bunch of wonderful Polaroid work. And just a bunch of different sorts of shows and things that have happened.
Very
this
cool.
This is one of the pieces that she did for us, which I love.
Nice. So would you call, because I've been framing this as a speakeasy.
Yeah, we can talk more. It's always hard to describe what this thing looks like or feels like. I mean, it's a log cabin.
It's very rustic.
And, you know, it was all based around this big slab that was sitting in the driveway for a long time. But really, it started as a joke initially, but
uh-huh.
I've been kind of doing these sorts of things all my life. You know, as a kid, we would steal big carpets and see if we could hide them in the woods just to have a place. And we spent a good amount of time living in Eastern Europe, and you find little holes in places for people
to be.
Yeah. And, everybody always shows up here, and particularly at night, and they're always kind of astounded by it. And I'm sort of appalled that they're not everywhere. Like, this shouldn't be anything. It shouldn't really feel special. It's just
right.
I think that the big part about the goat is that it's the most natural, normal, simple thing you could do, which is there's a bunch of booze in the woods. People are asked to be responsible for themselves, not drink too much, not drink and drive too much,
right?
Not get angry, not, you know, we don't accept money for booze.
Okay.
There's a pot out. If you want to throw money in it, you can. If you don't, you don't. And
for the cause.
Yeah. And, you know, as you would imagine, the same people that give you money always give you money. And the same people who never give you money or bring anything. never give you money.
No real names.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean Jeff. That's a pseudonym for Jeff.
Right. Well, we're sitting here in the bar area of the White Rabbit, which I guess I'm going to have to edit out the times that you said the real name.
I guess that's true, and I don't really care because it's you know, we first started, this was open 3 days a week, and we literally had it open, and I would just come down here and wait, and the first summer was kind of ridiculous because there's something about Thursday night being by yourself in the woods and wondering where everybody is.
Right.
And then actually having people show up, and then it would be even stranger. But it was really pretty magical the first year. And then...
So how long have you had this thing running then?
I think this was the third year.
Oh, this is third year. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the thing is it's it's shifted. We are just open less.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to make it a little bit more event driven.
Okay. But, so surrounding like musicians that are coming up here and playing shows or DJs or anything like that. Or special parties.
Family reunions. I mean, I just let people kind of come. It's really meant just to be, if you're in a small community, there's nowhere, it's stupid to have to leave. You know, you came here for a reason.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's really also just a place. People come here when I'm not here,
mm-hmm.
If I can trust them.
Yeah,
and that's I think that's been a really big part of it is just the radicalness of just trusting people.
Right. And have you found that that's been conducive to place too? I mean, do you ever have? Or have you had in the past, like, anybody that's taken advantage of your trusting?
Yeah, totally. I mean, but it's still, I mean, the thing that comes across is that you feel really burned by very small acts, by very few individuals.
Right.
And you have to counter that.
Yeah.
You just have to sort of fight those feelings, because otherwise you wouldn't ever do this. And there's something about the woodsy, being in the woods and that makes people feel vulnerable, I think, too. You know, once there was a whole lot of people showed up after a high school reunion. I didn't know any of them. I knew one of them, but, you know, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning and 30 people showed up. And I was ready to close already. It was just one of those circumstances.
Yeah.
I said, guys, you know, we're going to close. And they said, oh yeah, it's cool, man. All right, man, we'll get going soon. And I was like, no, man,
you don't understand.
You're in the woods. I'm going to close. And they're like, no, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Yeah, just chill. I was like, yeah, okay, great. And then I just turned the lights off and I said, you're in the woods. And then it just immediately it went from a sort of this magical circumstance to we're alone in the woods and there's no light. And it just instantly changed the circumstance.
Right.
So
you have had to, apparently you've had to put the kibosh on,
People have been flagged. If that's what you're asking. Many people have been flagged. You get real tired of drugs.
Right.
Super quick.
Have you ever run a real bar, or is this kind of the first time that you've run something like this? You said a little bit earlier that you've done things like this.
Just
in the past,
more about bringing community people, different communities of friends together.
Right.
That's always been like I've been interested in like happenings of people, but but no, yeah, this has been the only one that we've ever done.
It's very cool, and you guys have done. I mean, you know, it's very very rustic. It's very like it feels like something that should be in the Appalachians
that's
or something like that. You know,
And I'm in contact with some other speakeasies that are in the Appalachians, one in the Adirondacks.
Really?
And, people that have actually come here and said, wow, you know, this really feels... And they actually, the real deal, when they put the red light on so you can see it from the highway, and if you see it, you know, they're open kind of
places.
Right, yeah. And it's an interesting solidarity amongst people and a weird passion to run something like this. I mean, the crazy thing about it, and I mean... One of the reasons when you asked to do this that I was interested in talking to you about it, other than just to meet somebody, was just that the potentiality of this being illegal is, you know, it's fucking ridiculous to me.
Like, right, right.
This is a shack in my yard with a nice little amphitheater.
Right, yeah.
And why can't we come together and choose to have a drink and throw money in a pot and buy more drinks so we can do it again.
You know, and that's something I wanted to ask you too. I wanted to touch on that, like, because, I mean, when I first heard about this place, I had in my mind, like, a speakeasy where money is exchanged for alcohol.
Well, that's the thing, is that...
And, like, this place, you're saying that it's not... Money is not exchanged for alcohol. It's a... If you want to contribute, you can. So it's basically just like having a party in this... little shack that you have here. So do you think that you could possibly be arrested for something like this, or fined, or anything like that?
The interesting thing is if you have a DJ or you have bands play, and you start passing a hat, or we do a planned night where we've done some really wonderful food nights too, where I'm charging people $20 a head because we're providing dinner, drinks, and music.
Right, yeah.
And it's going to be something special, and you know, we still wind up losing $100.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not like we're making anything. We certainly never have, and I've never had a night here where I've ever came out ahead.
Uh-huh.
But it certainly, I think that that's the fact is that what constitutes a transaction, you know.
Have you looked into it at all? Or?
Well, I mean, to the extent that you put money down and then you expect something in return, that constitutes what it would be. If I'm sure that if anybody came in here and said, you know, here you go, and they enacted it, and I took that, and I gave them something in return, and there wasn't anything actually said, that I would be liable.
Yeah.
But whether that is or not is I think it's highly subjective. I don't think that there is a standard case that somebody would apply. I think it's just, you know, what community members are behind whatever illegal action was.
Right. Well, have you found, too, because you do have neighbors up here. However, they are, not like living in a city where they're very close together.
They don't hear us for the most part. We try to have them over.
That's the way to, come over and have a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's been the thing we've kind of tried to do the most part, and I think that they're really happy that we do it less.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say when it's up and going, it is particularly on a nice warm evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's well, the kind it's, of,
it
it's,
seems like a, it'd be a, just a lot of fun.
And it's
to come to a place like this and hang out.
It's also a place that you can, honest to God, you can make six people feel like 20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you get the right six people in this space, it just...
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it's, you know, it's not big by any imagination. I mean, the bar that we're sitting in right now has got to be what?
It's 10 by... It's 10 by...
10 by 12 or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 8. All right.
Yeah, something like that on the inside.
Right, right. Well, this is really, really cool.
Very cool. I sort of was, you know, just thinking about, you know, just this whole experience. And it was really, it does take a toll. And it definitely has a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that it's not going to be here forever.
Right.
And I don't want it to be here forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I always want to have music here. That's...
Yeah.
I mean, that's something. I would much rather have this be somewhere else that was further away from my home. And my wife has been super cool to tolerate me so far to do this. But I think that when you do something like this, if it really does feel magical in the sense that this whole place was put together in one day in 8 hours by 12 guys.
You did this in one day?
No, I mean, the building was here.
Oh, okay.
But we gutted the building. We put a new roof on it. We built the bar. We built all the shelves. We put all the booze in, and we had a party that night.
Wow.
And it was just people going absolute gangbusters.
Yeah.
For 10 hours.
That's amazing. And how many people did you guys have helping you?
12 people.
12 people.
And we were all just sitting around a campfire anyway that morning working on another project. We just decided that this looked like a bar top, which was...
That's what started this whole thing, this bar top that I'm...
And I was really depressed about how this building had fallen into disrepair. I built it for an Eastern European friend who was helping me build my house, who lived in it for a while.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And that was the impetus to start the whole thing.
That's amazing.
But
absolutely amazing.
You know, I guess my point is, I do want it to die at some point.
Right.
I don't think these things are supposed to last forever. I think that there's a cultural belief that institutions have to be defended with people's lives, and particularly ones that deal with these sort of like, I don't know, hippie transgression and freedom. You know,
right.
I think that that's stupid. Uh-huh. I think that they're like mushrooms. They grow fast. They become what they are.
Yeah.
You enjoy them, and then they show up somewhere else. And it's really the same thing. It's just they're connected in a way. Right.
Well, that's what makes a place like this cool too. Is that it is temporary.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what makes the best memories too, right?
Yeah.
Is that you can look back on something like this and say, yeah, we did that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we did it for a year, or we did it for, you know, you guys are going on 3 years right now. We did it for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, and you can look back on that and smile and like, those were good times.
You know,
that's what makes a good memory, right?
It also,
something has to end.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I think that the part of that I wanted to sort of stress is this idea of transgression. If you are doing something in a space that is what feels like it's illegal, a lot more things are possible.
Right.
You see people smoking cigarettes that don't smoke here. You see people doing things, you see people strangely compelled to, it's odd to me because I don't really drink that much.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy good whiskey and I enjoy booze, but I don't drink to excess at all.
Right, right.
And, but one night we had something called the Claminator where a friend brought a bunch of moonshine that he had made and another person bought a giant bucket of steamed clams and there was a line out the door to just drink moonshine with clams in it. And it was like this sort of macho feat that every man, woman, and child was like in, like they just all wanted to see if they could do it. And
I
thought that it was we needed like a vomitorium or something. It was just unbelievable. The other thing that I'm really astounded by here is the age thing. One of the most wonderful things about here, as much as we do things with kids and just for kids here sometimes, or we just do movies or other things in the amphitheater, but we, for the most part, there's not kids here, but sometimes kids are here with their parents. I really try to keep teenagers out unless they're directly with a parent. The other end of that equation that I just absolutely love is we've had a lot of older folks that really have come to love this. And when there's a couple of 70 or 80 year olds sitting at a party, it changes the quality.
Oh yeah.
Of just what's happening. And people, one night we had a guy who is, for a living, he is a counselor. He's in his early 80s, but he's still an active counselor. He works with people dying of cancer. And he was just talking about what he did and what it's like.
Uh-huh.
And he was in here. And this is a typical, experience of the speakeasy. is people started showing up. He was here early.
Right.
And then they walked in, and this guy's talking about something really heavy. And then they started sharing stories of people dying. And then more people started showing up. But it didn't change. It didn't turn into a party. Right.
And it's not... It's
next
not...
thing you knew, there was 30 people here, and we were all talking about loss and death.
Right.
And
but not in a depressing way.
Well, like, I mean, it just was what it was. I mean, right, you know, right. it's loss and death.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are organic things that happen when a space, when you can't put your finger on what this space is. This isn't a bar. It's not, I mean, what, you don't know what a speakeasy is because none of us have a, we don't have a history with it. We don't have previous experience. So when you come into experiences that feel different, that feel kind of like, what is this place? And it does feel that way at night.
Right, right.
Then you you open yourself up to being something you haven't before. And in this way, I feel place is so absolutely important. Place changes people. You know, right, I mean, right. Just like language does. You know, you go to a foreign country, you start trying to speak a foreign language, you realize you're not just speaking a foreign language. After you get base proficiency, you're a different person. People can see, consider you to be different.
Right, right.
Place does the same thing. You get people in a place, and they feel like they haven't been in a place like that before. They will become different people, and that's what, again, the essential quality of having something that dies. You don't want something that's been here for too long, because as soon as people, they know what it is, oh, you go right, there, you right. do this thing,
they start
it's
expecting
all good.
Stuff.
They expect stuff.
Yeah.
It shuts down possibility.
Yeah.
If you go to somewhere and it's like, what is this? And that's why we always love a certain percentage of newbies.
Right, right.
You know, you got to have some newbies that are just tripping on where they are, because that's awesome.
That is totally cool. That is totally cool. Well, Sal, I thank you very, very much for inviting me out
and
talking with me.
You have to come out when it's... I want to,
and you'll let me know, right?
Well, you were nice enough to hook me up with that Basil Hayden, so you're going to have to crack that with me.
Let's do it. Let's have a drink, my friend.
Yeah, you bet.
All right. Thank Cheers. You very much, Sal.
Yeah, thanks,
Owner
man.
And purveyor of the White Rabbit. And boy, oh boy, it's a beauty to behold.
This is Sal. By the way,
that's the real Sal right there.
Yeah.
Very, very old picture. Wow. All right, guys, you heard it here first, and me and Sal, we're gonna have a little drink. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
We will. We should at least have something, shouldn't we?
Totally.
I think that we'll just we should. You shouldn't have something good.
Not good.
Yeah. You should have something shitty.
Wait a minute, I just bought you this bottle of very, very nice bourbon.
Okay, fine. Well, we're going to take a ceremonial sip then. If you want something nice, we'll get some Clear Creek Distillery straight out of Portland of the nicest apple brandy you'll ever have in your life.
Wonderful. I can't wait. Well, there you have it, folks. That was straight out of episode 29 of the Air Raid podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, if you hadn't heard it already. So you may have noticed that we took down most of our episodes off of iTunes. Those are still available at our website, www.air-raid.net, for a limited time here until, we're going to wait until... I don't know, mid-January or something, and then we're going to start taking those down as well, because it's just kind of overloading the site, and we need to streamline things here. So you can go visit our website for a limited time here and get all those backlog of episodes. There's a lot of great stuff up there, a lot of great stuff. Interviews with, Star Anna and the Laughing Dogs. Great, great band. We had them play live in Dining Room Studios here a while back. You can check that out. Interviews with people like Lynn Shelton, director of the movie Hump Day, and also, stand-in director of Mad Men, MTV's web series. What was that called? Oh, my God.
I can't remember. Shit. What? She also directed an episode or a couple episodes of that show, New Girl, with Zooey Deschanel. So yeah, a bunch of great stuff up on the website www.air-raid.net. You can also find us at Noisebeam at air-raid.noisebeam.com, on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, which is a great app for your smartphones, and Zune Marketplace, and everywhere else. Oh, and come and check us out on Facebook as well. Type air-raid.net into the handy search bar, and you'll find us there. And yeah, you can like us on that thing, the Facebook. And that's where we kind of update everybody on the goings-on here in Dining Room Studios. So check that out. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope that you have a grand, grand Christmas. I know that I am excited for Christmas morning. First Christmas of my baby daughter. So I'm super excited. I know that she's not even going to care. She'll try to just put the paper in her mouth. That's going to be it. But you know what? For the parents, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing, everybody. Hey, we are going to take a short break next week. We will not be posting an episode until January 8th. So we're going to take a week off. I hope that nobody is pissed and everybody still remembers to download that next episode, because it's going to be a really good one. I'm not going to say the name because we've had some cancellations and everything. It's really hard to schedule a show during the holidays, I'm finding. Really hard. Really hard to schedule guests during the holidays, because everybody's got families, everything. Everybody's got things to do, Christmas shopping, all that good stuff. So it's promising to be a great show, and hopefully you guys will tune in for that. That's going to be on January 8th. And then another great episode after that as well. But I'm not going to say anything because, god damn it, you know, after the cancellation on the last episode, we had to scramble and get Kevin with Stack of Dimes podcast up there. Yeah, so he saved my butt. He saved my butt. Anyway, I hope you all have a great Christmas, a wonderful holiday, and a very, very happy New Year. So, thanks for listening. Brain fart. Brain fart. All right, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year from the Air Raid Podcast. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. All right. Enjoy yourselves. Be safe. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots.